And now we are welcoming Yola Odelola for the gaps we inherit. And she will explain you what does it mean.
Hello, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so a question I've had, having worked in tech for a while now, to be fair, are what resources would we need to create a website for predominantly blind? Is not working?
Yeah. Oh, it's muted. That should do.
Hello. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely on. Yeah, you can hear the difference, can't you? Right, so if you're creating a website for a predominantly blind audience, assuming everybody or 90% of people who visited your website, you knew they were blind, what resources would you need to make sure they had the experience you wanted them to have? What would you need to test the website to ensure a consistent experience across browsers and screen readers? And just for those who are unaware, if you are blind and you are using, well, not just the web, but any kind of digital device, it's likely you would use an assistive technology called a screen reader. There are a bunch of different kinds of assistive technologies, and screen readers are just one category of assistive technology. And some screen readers can even speak to other assistive technologies like Braille readers as well. So what would we check for? What should we check for? In this talk, I want to explore the gaps in interoperability data on the web and why we have them. My name is Lola Odelola. I am the founder of Lola's Labs, where I do web standards stuff. I call myself a web standards technologist, but really I just stole that from a job advert that I saw somewhere. I'm also the co-chair of the W3C Technical Architecture Group and the co-chair of the W3C Documentation Community Group. I'm also leading a project called the Accessibility Compact Data, which is what this talk is going to resolve to, and hopefully you'll learn more about that. But technology is my side hustle, I like to say, and really I'm an artist, and I explore a bunch of different things through painting and photography and writing. My first degree is actually in creative writing, nothing to do with computer science at all. And I hate cheesecake, and I think everybody should too. You can debate me about that later. So let's revisit this question. What resources would we need to create a website for a predominantly blind audience? In the first instance, we'd want to make sure that the web features we used can actually be accessed by blind users. This may seem familiar to some of you, probably most of you. I don't know how many people in the room are web developers. But if you look in the developer console of any HTML page, you see the DOM tree. Which is also the HTML representation of the page. So here we have our doc type declaration, the HTML tag, inside it our head and body tags, and inside the head tag we have our meta and title tags, then inside our body tag we have the main tag, and inside that we have a H1 paragraph and button. We also have something called the CSS object model, which is a representation of the CSS rule for the given HTML. The rules we've set here are to have a font size of 16 pixels in the body and make all the paragraph text be blue with a margin of 10 pixels around the paragraph. And this is represented in a similar tree format. The same rules we've defined are now have a clear hierarchy. The body and paragraph rules are on the same branch, while the font size branches from the body and the color and margin branch from the paragraph. These two combined, so our DOM tree and our CSS object model, they give us our render tree. And the render tree is really what dictates the layout. This is the render tree for the HTML and CSS we just created. And this is everything the user would need to see, assuming that they were not blind, right? The render tree is important because it's how the browser determines the layout for the web page and what sighted the users should see on the page and how they should see it. Blind users who use magnification tools or suffer blindness